four lessons from the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We'll take these lessons from the book of Luke, chapter 5, continuing through verse 26. Four lessons from the life and ministry of Jesus. As humans, we must learn our lessons from many sources. We learn lessons from our parents and other kinfolk, what we've come to call extended family. And we're blessed indeed if we have Christian parents and Christian kinfolk who can, by their experience in life, teach us the best way to live and what is best on this earth. We learn lessons from our teachers who teach us in our public school or private school systems. They have infinite influence upon us, as do other professionals with whom we come in contact from time to time. The insurance salesman, our medical doctors who treat us when we're ill and help us through times of great stress. We learn from life's experiences what we've called or come to call the school of hard knocks, and sometimes that is a very difficult university indeed. But I believe the best lessons that we learn come from the Word of God. The reason I believe that they are the best lessons, because when we learn a lesson from the Bible, we know it's fully dependable. We know that the Bible is so comprehensive that it'll reach into every facet of our lives. And we also know that what lessons we learn from the Word of God are eternal because they come from Him. So as we look to the book of Luke and begin to study this particular chapter, I think we will learn, first of all, that to the weary, Jesus says, try again. Reading as we begin at verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Jesus went to the Lake Gennesaret. There he entered into a ship to teach the people. At the end of his teaching, being aware of their failure the night before, Jesus challenged Simon, whom we know as Peter. The challenge was to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, that is, for a drag across the lake. Simon had fished all night long. It was hard, grinding, back-breaking work, exposed to the elements. And Simon said, we've tried, Lord, and we've taken absolutely nothing. But if you ask us to do this, and remember that Simon calls him Master, and if you ask us to do that, we will let down the net. They had great success because they followed the directions of Jesus Christ. There is in these scriptures what I would term a lesson for us. And that lesson is this. We often tire of working without results. I can fish a long time when I'm catching fish. But when the fish quit biting, then I lose patience very quickly. The Bible teaches us that we serve God. As a church, we work in His vineyard. We labor and we try to have people come to a knowledge of Christ because we preach and teach the Word of God. But like fishing, working for God is unpredictable. And like fishing, working for God is hard, grinding work. Church work is difficult. If we ever give you the impression that being a member of North Bryant Baptist Church will ease your life, take away a lot of responsibility, and not challenge you to be physically and spiritually and mentally involved, then we have given you the wrong impression. We do not believe that Christianity ought to be performed by a handful while everyone else watches. We want your hand on the net. We want your feet in the water. And as a church that has relocated and gone through some trying times, I can tell you that when you aren't catching men, you can soon get tired. When you aren't seeing results from what you do from day to day, then we also get weary. And it was Paul who anticipated this weariness when he wrote to the church at Galatia, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So, to those who grow weary in continually doing but not seeing the results that you would like to see, may I say to you, the work of God is not in vain. And if we work, whatever the Word of God and the Holy Spirit does will be a blessing to those who receive it. It doesn't mean that God has quit. It doesn't mean that God is angry with us. It doesn't mean that we have, quote, sin in the camp. There's just some times when we have to be patient and we have to be faithful. Another lesson I believe that these scriptures will teach us, and that is to those who feel spiritually inferior, Jesus says to fear not. In verse 8, the Bible tells us that when Simon Peter saw it, that is the great results they'd had, the boatloads of fishes, that he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Simon was astonished at the results of obeying Jesus. So were his partners. They were all absolutely filled with amazement. The Bible tells us that this is true, that he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." I believe that Simon, when he saw the miraculous draught of fishes, that he saw himself inadequate to pursue the issue, to become a full-time, constant follower or disciple of Jesus Christ. Remember that all of these people's names that are mentioned here, that they were all saved. They were all born again, and they all had John's baptism. They were not strangers to Christian work. They were not strangers to the person of Jesus Christ. They had had teaching, and they had obeyed the cries of John the Baptist to repent and to be baptized. But they knew also themselves. It's one thing to know God, it's another thing to know yourself. And sometimes when we know ourselves and we know who we are and we know our competency, not only in the work of God, but our competency and our inabilities from the viewpoint of sin. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we look down deep inside and we know our hearts and we know our thoughts. And because we see an exceeding sinfulness, we don't feel like we're worthy to do the work of God. And I think this is what Simon felt on this particular hour. They knew themselves. They knew they were ill prepared for life's occupation to be his disciples. They knew they were, quotation marks, sinners. And to these people who felt a spiritual inadequacy, to these people who felt deeply a spiritual inferiority, Jesus said, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." Translated, I can use all of you. And the Bible tells us they forsook all and followed him. Life's lessons seem to be this: that as saved sinners, we are invited to participate in, quote, catching men. And if this thought terrorizes us, and sometimes it does, even now, after near 50 years of preaching, when I sit down and begin to prepare a message, or know that I will face people who will listen to what I say and perhaps believe what I say, the Bible teaches, there are times when terror strikes my heart because I know my inadequacies. I know myself. I know my sins. I know my drifting. I know my coldness. And I'm filled with fear. It ought to cause men who have been born again and scripturally baptized, it ought to cause us to fear when we approach the work of God, knowing ourselves and knowing the eternal quality of the work of God. But I'd like for you to know this to be an absolute truth. Don't wait to stop sinning before you start working. Because all of us who work for God are still sinning. We still fall short of the glory of God. And we can look at the life of Simon and we can see that he didn't quit sinning and he didn't quit making mistakes, but he did past the resurrection, past the day of Pentecost, do yeoman work for his master, and he did catch many men. Another lesson we learn from these scriptures is this: that to those who are in desperate circumstances, Jesus says, "I will." We read in verse 12 that it came to pass. And that's like saying a long time ago in a distant land. It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer thy cleansing, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. I'll remind you again that Luke is a physician, and perhaps from listening to people who related this story to him and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke said he was full of leprosy, that he was in the latter stages of leprosy. Today we might make a comparable statement by saying that a person had been found to be full of cancer. There was no hope of recovery. There was no institute to which he might go and be healed. There was no miraculous medication that could be applied to his sores and bring them to health again. There was only pain, suffering, alienation, hopelessness. And the Bible tells us that he fell on his face, and that he besought Jesus, that he begged him. And it is a prayer of desperation. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Whatever else he didn't have, being clean was his most pressing need. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. No extraction of promises. No commandment for apologies. No searching for the root cause, whether it was some disease sent upon him by Almighty God or whether he was just in the path of that which brought him this terrible disease. And as a faithful man, he had been taken out of his daily work and away from his family and out of society, a cast off, a man forbidden to be with his family, to be with his friends. He could not attend synagogue. He could not go to the temple. And it was a loathsome disease that brought not the sympathy, but the loathing of the public. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. I do know that from time to time, all of us get desperate. Children get in desperate situations. It doesn't seem so to us, but to them it is a desperate situation. And our young people get in desperate situations, and we get in desperate situations with business or with life or with one another or with God or with our society or with our boss or someone, and some way, somehow, desperation sets in on us. And we investigate every avenue of deliverance. We find out there's really no hope. And we can go to Jesus and say, wilt thou? And he will say, I will. Be thou clean. His fame was increased, the Bible tells us. That is, more and more people heard about his ability to meet the needs of people. And the lessons we can learn from this are, life can have its terrible times. And the merciful God, whom we know as our Creator, does not ask why. It's never too early nor too late to trust God. Miracles do not exempt us from keeping the teachings of the Bible. Jesus continued to pray after this incident, and so should we. Sometimes we get the idea that if God has helped us through some terribly burdensome task, then there's relief that seems to be directly from God, and now we feel so relieved, we feel so helped by the Lord, we feel such an object of His love and care and concern that we sigh a sigh of relief and then walk away from Him. Jesus continued to pray in the midst of all of those who were amazed and of the fame that He was at that time experiencing. Another principle that I see in these scriptures that we're studying this morning is this. To those who would do God's work, Jesus says, "Show me your faith." The Bible tells us in verse 17, "It came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Please don't make too much out of the statement, "the doctors of the law were sitting by." Do you know why you go to a doctor? Because you don't want to go to a man with a bachelor's. Somebody says, "I know I've been diagnosed with a brain tumor and I want to go to see a man who has a bachelor's degree." No, you want to go to the man that has a doctor's degree. Seems like the thing ought to apply also to people who look for the truth of God's word. Don't go to an ignorant man wanting to know what God's word says. I'm not bragging on anybody. I'm just making an observation. Just because you're ignorant, it doesn't mean you know more than people who have trained. And just because you've trained doesn't mean you know it all. But these people were doctors of the law, and they're the ones who would not receive Christ. They're the ones who would not be convinced by the miracles that Jesus taught. But as He was teaching, behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling while his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, notice that's plural, their faith, not the sick man's faith, not the man with palsy's faith, but when he saw their faith, he said unto him, that is the man that had palsy, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk.'" The Bible tells us that this man had palsy. It's translated from a Greek word, of course, that if you transliterated it would be paralytic. It means palsied, one who's had a stroke. Someone who today trembles so much and shakes so badly they cannot walk. This man had completely been disabled so terribly that he could not walk, he could not in any way be mobile. And there were men who brought him in a bed to Jesus, carrying him on some sort of litter, some sort of cot. And when they got to where Jesus was teaching, they saw that they could not get this man into his body presence. And they did something very desperate. They went beyond the common. They went beyond the ordinary. And they let this man down through the tiling of the roof on his couch into the very midst of Jesus. He evidently just descended, and there he was, right in the face of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he was very touched by it. True faith had motivated them to sustain them to do whatever was necessary to get the work of God accomplished. And sometimes we need to go beyond the ordinary into the extraordinary, beyond the common to the uncommon, and yes, sometimes beyond the accepted to that which might not be accepted, in order to show our faith and get the work of God done. I don't think the man's need was without notice. It was obvious. It was not some quiet inner disease. It was one of those dread diseases that affects a person so that their illness is obvious. And Jesus didn't say to him, take up your bed and walk at that particular time. He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And when Jesus said that, the scribes and the Pharisees, these doctors of the law that were sitting by and listening to Jesus, they began to reason. But reason without faith will bring us to wrong conclusions. The word that's translated reason means that they begin to use their minds to think something through, to consider thoroughly. And the conclusions of their reasoning were this, that Jesus was a blasphemer. And there was no sin greater in the Old Testament than the sin of blasphemy. For by being a blasphemer, you could be stoned to death. And why did they conclude that Jesus was a blasphemer? Because they said God alone can forgive sin. But had they reasoned correctly, they would have considered the Bible. And they would have by faith concluded that Jesus indeed was the Son of God. As always, Jesus knew their hearts. He was aware of their faulty reasoning. And he said, whether is it easier? And that word means, does it take more energy to say thy sins are forgiven thee, or to go to the cross and die to redeem mankind from their sins? Easier simply means that which is accomplished by less labor. Which of these two, healing or paying the price for sin, will cost me the most? That's what Jesus meant. I can heal at this moment by the power and authority that God has given me, but forgiving sins depends upon my going to the cross and dying there. And all of the punishment and all of the pain that goes before the cross. But he did heal the man. He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he arose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. This man wasn't taken home the same way he came to Jesus. These men did not carry him back to his house, where he improved after a while. And after 2 or 3 weeks of taking medicine and other means of rehabilitation, he was finally able to walk for a little while, and then over a period of years he got better. No, this man was immediately better. And I can tell you that in your spiritual needs, especially if it's for salvation, you can be immediately better. It's not a matter of leaving this building and doing a lot of good things and then coming to church every time the doors are open. It's not a matter of getting in the baptistry with someone such as myself. But when you want to be healed from your sins disease, when you want to be made whole spiritually, if you will exercise your faith and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and trust him with your soul salvation, believing that he came and gave himself for us on the cross, you can leave immediately, totally born again and equipped spiritually for the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus heal this man? The word power means authority. The healing was immediate, and it was appreciated. The Bible tells us that they all were affected by what had happened, that they were amazed. It's a very peculiar word. Combination of two words, actually. One means to take hold of, the other means removal. It has reference to people who lose their minds, who are carried out of their senses by some unknown power. These people were filled with fear. They talked about strange things they had seen that day. They were paradoxical things. They were aside from the accepted opinion. They were incredible, without explanation. And yet they did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that he could forgive sins. What reason do you give in your heart for not having faith in the Son of God? Have you thought it all the way through? Have you used your mind to consider all of the biblical facts? Have you used your heart to estimate the power of God's Holy Spirit in your life? Have you felt yourself realizing the depth of your sin and of your separation from God? Do you know that you are not right in the sight of God? What does your reasoning tell you? Make sure it's your spirit that's reasoning and not your flesh that's reasoning, because the flesh will always tell you to ignore it. The flesh will always tell you it's not as bad as you think it is or that others think it is. Your reasoning is influenced by your rebellion against God. Think it through, considering the truths of God's word. Think it through, believing the Bible. Use your faith like these men did, and then break away from the things that have hindered you. Become a new person in Christ. And if these other things have bothered you that we've talked about, if you are feeling spiritually inferior, then listen to Jesus as he says, fear not. If you feel yourself in desperate circumstances, listen to Jesus say, I will. Because he will.